Okay, welcome back to The Good Mom. We are here today with a couple of very special guests. I'm going to let them introduce themselves in a moment. It's been a while since Carmen and I have recorded, and we are back.
It's been like a month.
Probably, if not more. How many times have I said we're back?
I know.
Anyway, so today we're going to dive in to routine, the benefits of it, the benefits of routine for our kids and us as mothers. So I will let you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Hello. So I'm Camille. I'm a pharmacist and I'm distributing clean breads here in Qatar. A mom as well, of course, the boys' home from Leo and Edwards, 4 and 6. And
cool. So I'm Valerie. I'm a psychologist and I've been in Doha for 12 years. I'm also a yoga teacher here. I'm as well from Belgium, like Camille. I have 4 kids, 20, a girl, and then twins, 18, also girls, and then a little boy who is 7. And I'm working here in the View Hospital as a psychologist. And yeah, in my free time, I try to teach yoga as well.
Wow, you're busy.
Yeah.
This gives a new dynamic.
Yeah.
Because we have never had anyone that's had kids over like 10.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So you can give us all the wisdom.
Yeah, I have different gaps at home.
Yeah,
definitely.
And 4. Wow.
Yeah, the little one is our expat Doha baby.
Awesome. So, I mean, routine, you know, I think that we definitely feel it right now. You know, it's been spring break. It's been Eid. We traveled.
You guys have done.
Put. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back into that routine. Today really threw me off. My daughter was supposed to go back to school today.
Oh, yeah.
And then due to the weather, 15 minutes of raining, were home all day. But yeah, I really felt it today, which is so relevant as we're sitting here tonight talking about routine.
We are just, so when we were driving up, we were talking about routine. And okay, this is a funny story and I've told you this, but I was talking about how much I have changed and how much I've clung to routine since having kids. And my mother-in-law said, oh, that those are signs of autism. And I was like, yeah, do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember, yeah.
No.
And I was
I don't
like,
think so.
Yeah. Or I was like, or it's a sign of like a new mom, maybe, that's like trying to have control over things. Because I also think I was one of the first ones in the family to have like structure in our lives. And so when my eldest Grace was born, it was you're up at 6, you're asleep for like 10, then you're up again and you're back to sleep at 12. And then you've got your bedtime routine of bath bottle and or bath babe and bed. That was just babies. And so even now I'm just only kind of coming out of that, like allowing a bit of leniency.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 8. But I've clung to any kind of routine since having kids.
But I think it's a good thing. I mean, you need a bit of flexibility in a routine.
Yeah.
Yeah. That it's not too rigid. Like, you need to follow the signals of your baby. I mean, if he's not sleepy and you push him into bed at 10 a.m. for his nap and he doesn't want to sleep because he's not tired, you cannot go too far in that.
Yeah.
But if you have kind of structure, like, for example, in the evening after dinner, let's have reading time, then you have a bath. The child will know that, okay, I'm winding down.
Mm-hmm.
Bedtime is coming. And they will go to sleep easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also something I've always done with my kids, that they have kind of predictability in their day as much as possible.
Yeah.
Not too much, because like I said, you want to have some spontaneous moments as well. But just to kind of prepare them for a bedtime in the morning also, we have breakfast and you brush your teeth. And then, you know, there is kind of predictability, gives them emotional stability as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you said, to prepare to bed, for example, I think that's a great example.
Yeah.
Like very structured. Okay, now you brush your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go to the toilet. Now there is bedtime stories. They know the routine by themselves. Like, mommy, I'm going. Don't need to. Otherwise, you need to nag.
Yeah.
Read that.
Yeah.
Brush your teeth. Like, now they know. Like, okay, mom expecting me this, this, this. And
Yeah,
that's no, great. Like, you don't need to fight for it.
Yeah. But
otherwise, yeah. I hate it. Then. Like,
yeah. But also just those kind of, I guess, like subconscious cues going into them, like, oh, this, you know, this is what's happening before we go to bed. So
yeah,
time to wind down.
But it's funny you're talking about kids, but I do the same for myself.
Well, yeah.
Like on my phone, I have a bedtime reminder, like, hey, 45 minutes, it's your bedtime.
Yeah.
It sounds nothing, but then I know, okay, I will put my phone away. It's like a reminder for me. I'm not going to have clean time. I'm going to wind down. Maybe I journal. Maybe I read a book and I take a bath with Epsom salts.
Nice.
And then I do a short meditation and I go to bed and I fall asleep so easily. Even when I'm not that tired, it's just like my body is so used to it.
Wow.
And it's for kids, but it's also for us as adults. I think it's really, it's important just to have a good sleep because your night sleep is so important.
Nick does that. He has a timer. My husband has a timer on his phone that will ding. And if it's like, if we've stayed past up, late, it'll go ding ding and I'll go, what's that? And he goes, it's my bedtime. Like, oh, okay.
My husband also is laughing at me, but 9:30
it's really early, but 9:30 because then it's a reminder, don't read any emails anymore, don't log in your computer, or don't, because that's the thing, you're just dizzy as whatever do, and then it's like, oh, it's already 10 or it's, and then to wind, like to scroll
to
down,
wind down.
It, it's a hard task, right? So I'm doing the same. 9:30 is like my time, like, okay,
I go earlier,
relax. Are we here earlier? Okay, I thought I was early,
but I need 45 minutes and then I hope to be in bed by 10 usually.
I
wake up early,
to be honest.
Okay.
For my maturity. 5 o'clock team, right? I'm 6. I'm 5 a.m. Sorry.
5 a.m.
Have you read that book?
I haven't, but I've seen it.
It's really good.
I thought you meant 5 a.m. by like force of your kids.
No,
that's why I'm 5 a.m.
I know. Well, this is, so I wanted to bring this up because I would love to be a part of the 5 a.m. club. I think I could thrive doing this, but my girls are up by like 5:15 sometimes, 5:30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and worse.
When my kids were younger,
okay,
that young, like your kids, I also couldn't manage.
Okay.
Because I just felt like I need sleep.
Yeah.
I needed sleep. And
What is this 5 a.m. club? What?
It's like waking up at 5 a.m. and doing, like having a routine for yourself and time for yourself before the rest of the family or whoever wakes up.
Yeah. I have a question. Did you guys have a bedtime when you were younger? Like, did your parents give you a bedtime?
Yes.
Mine did too. And so when it hits a certain time, I'm like, okay, it's bedtime. That's why I'm in bed. I'm in bed at 7. I'm tucked up in bed.
Yeah.
Really?
I have my, like, my iPad, my TV show. I call it my quiet time. No one's to disturb me. It's my quiet hour. And I'm in bed at 7. And that's me done for the day.
So are you okay recording a podcast now?
How are you feeling?
I'm okay. Everyone off is fine.
Yeah, but like 7:30, if I'll text her, I'm like, I might not get a response tonight.
Sometimes I'll be asleep.
I like med sleep.
So your kids go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go to bed at 6. I start bedtime at 5:30. They're having a bath. They're brushing their teeth. They're doing whatever. And then at 6 o'clock, straight to bed. And by 6:45, they're usually asleep. My youngest is asleep within 2 minutes. Oh, my eldest. 5:30. My eldest is sleeping in a bit more now, though. Grace is sleeping in until about 6:30 sometimes, but she's growing. Mila's up at 5:30. So
wow, still young.
Yeah,
they're young, right?
Yeah, but I need like 12 hours of sleep. Nick can't get over how much sleep.
Wow,
people like also the big ones like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, they had 4 or 5 hours a night. They were fine.
Did they? Wow. Of sleep?
Yeah.
I think I would die.
So they just...
But it's...
But that's for me. Yeah. Wouldn't work, I think.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
really either. But 12?
Generally 12.
Spoken, I think 7 to...
So I've had my thyroid checked. Nick's just like... No, I'm not 12. Probably like 10 hours of sleep. But that's still a lot of sleep.
Yeah, 10 hours. Yeah. I think 8 is perfect. Like eight, I'm happy.
Yeah. But it's funny, in like the height of postpartum, you know, when you're getting like 3 hours of sleep at a time. And I went back to work six weeks, was it? Maybe 8 weeks postpartum. And I was functioning on maybe like 3 to 4 hours of sleep. And I managed. I don't know how I did it.
Yeah.
But now if I were only to get 3 to 4 hours of sleep, I would be wrecked.
True.
Yeah, but so, you're in that rhythm.
Yeah, in the rhythm.
And you have
exactly.
the adrenaline of every day.
I think
yes.
that about
keeps
the
you going.
Yeah.
It's
just like a survival
like,
mechanism.
Exactly. Yeah. You have yeah. you just do it because you're in it and you just perform.
And you got to get in that way.
Yeah.
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 It's crazy.
But then after, like what I noticed, I had twins and they didn't sleep for 2 years. It was like horrible.
Yeah.
2 years of almost no sleep. So when one was awake, then the other slept. And so it was waking up a lot of times.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. But then the effect afterwards is that my sleep is so important to me.
Yeah.
Like, don't wake me up at
yeah.
night because I feel like still I'm traumatized.
Yeah.
of 2 years no sleep.
Yeah.
And it became so,
yeah.
Yeah. Holy for me, it's like my sleep is really important.
My husband
jokes with it, like, you know.
Don't joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a joke.
Get
my
it.
Sleep is important. I have my yeah. earplugs. I have, you know, my blind above my eyes. I just need to make sure I don't wake up at night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so my youngest didn't sleep and she was up sometimes like 15 times a night. And I remember counting one time and I got to 15 and I was crying. And I was like, I can't keep counting because it's making me more and more stressed. Like just seeing how many times. And I hired a sleep therapist. She did nothing except for tell me exactly what I already knew. The biggest waste of my money ever. And I remember, and I'm sorry, I'm being a bit morbid, but like,
no.
I don't know if you had this thought, but I remember thinking, and I've told you this, I can understand how parents or moms specifically kind of like fall off, like go off the deep end a little bit because you're so sleep deprived. And I remember thinking and putting her down and being like, I can't hold you right now because I can feel that I'm getting like sleep rage or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to step away because I couldn't, or I'd have to come and get Nick, or I'd have to get my mother-in-law who was helping during COVID a lot. And I don't know if you ever had that or if that's just me.
I think not even normal.
I think it's happening to a lot of parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also why self-care is so important for mothers.
Yeah.
To have help and support.
Mm.
To at least someone who can take over now and then.
Yeah.
Or that you have moments during the day where you can sleep or... Yeah, that's also my mission, that I can teach mothers to do this.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I didn't know that when it was a mom, when I was young, when I had my first and my twins. So my first three children. But it's so important to have moments that you take out during the day for yourself or at least have help of family or your husband or...
And to accept help.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. Accepting help, that's still a part.
That's another topic.
Yeah, it's not easy to accept. Well, for me personally, same.
No, I'm the same.
I'm very much like, oh, I want to do this all by myself.
Yeah, because then I'm sure it's the right way.
Yeah.
And how I want.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
But especially also as expats, I think. Like back when I was in Belgium, I had a great support system.
Yeah.
My mom, my mother-in-law, like, you know, the whole system, it just works.
Yeah.
Here you come. As an expat, different country, no support system.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, now I need to look for my support system. How I need to deal with it. And
rebuild it.
Yeah. And it's complicated. And like you said, you all want to do it by yourself because you think, okay, I'm their mother. I need to do this. Like,
but it's my responsibility.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But it's hard. And then it's like, okay, then you feel like, okay, I need some support here.
Mm.
But it's a hard exercise, I think, especially
that's true.
And major burnout.
Yes. I remember as we're talking about this, like, exhaustion and needing to be in control and not accepting help. I remember putting on the diaper and the Velcro. Was it Velcro? What was it?
It's like kind of
Velcro.
Yeah.
And when my husband would do it, like, if it didn't sound right to me or, like, it didn't look right, I would go back and redo it. Sorry, Ellie. I don't know if he knows this. But now, even till today, I'm like, oh, my God, the diaper's not on. And then I just, like, spiral, like, oh, my God, it's going to leak in the middle of the night. I'm going to have to wake up. I'm going to have to wake up from my sleep and change the diaper because it's not put on. But, yeah.
But so on the way here, we were talking about how some men don't have, they can just switch off. They can just, pew, there's nothing in their brain. And when we do that, we don't have just nothing going on. Like the diaper thing, you've thought, you've put the diaper on, maybe it's not correct. They're going to go to bed. They're going to leak all over the bed. They're going to wake up. Then we're going to have to change those sheets in the middle of the night and try to get this baby back to bed to sleep. And it's like they put the nappy on and halas, that's it. They're on to something else.
Or nothing else. Nothing else. I mean, no offense to them, but yeah.
Yeah. Not to generalize men, but I just don't think that doesn't go through their head as much as we do. And then it's a burnout. It's a mental overstimulation. And I'm...
Yeah.
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Are we still in the diaper phase? No.
Thank God. No. I'm saving so much money now. Not having to buy nappies.
That's true.
You're in the nappy phase or the diaper phase.
We're getting out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nap time, no more nappies.
So that makes it.
Oh, that's good.
We're just at bedtime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even that, I mean, waking up dry most days.
That's good.
Yeah. So we're getting there. Yeah. So tell us about your morning routines.
I love my morning routine.
Yeah,
this is a good one.
I know. I'm so curious.
When I go to bed, I look forward to waking up.
Do you? Oh my gosh, I love it.
Yeah,
do you have a morning routine?
I have, but hers is like, wow.
Wow.
Like, okay. I said, the morning queen routine.
I just love mornings. I think I just love the energy in the morning. Mm. It has something very creative and powerful. Mm. And especially waking up when everybody's still asleep.
Yeah.
And the house is quiet. And it's just a time where I feel like it's time where I can decide what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell it a bit what I do.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's a moment where I have control about the things that I,
mm-hmm.
that I like, that nourish me. And I feel then so resilient and calm to start the day with everyone mm-hmm. in the house. I mean, before it was the six of us, now it's the three of us. but yeah, it has a lot of, on a practical level, but also on an emotional level, mm-hmm. kind of nourishment for me. So what I do, I wake up. First of all, I will do my meditation because okay. that's like my head is not too overstimulated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So during my morning routine, I'm not going to look at my phone. It's like okay. something I do maybe after breakfast.
Okay.
Or yeah, during breakfast. So I will meditate, not that long, like 10 minutes. Then I will journal a bit about ideas that came up, about my intention for the day, about also how I see myself during the day, because mm-hmm. often that comes up during meditation, like how I visualize myself in certain situations and how I want to show up as a person, as a mm-hmm. mother, as a colleague, as a friend. I will then have my hot water with lemon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I take my supplements, probiotic and mm-hmm. some vitamins. And I always have a gratitude practice. Also,
okay, nice.
That's usually during my meditation that I just focus on things that I'm grateful for.
Mm.
And because I often feel like people are so many times focused on what is lacking in their life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel when I do that, it just drains me.
Yeah.
It doesn't serve me at all. So when I change my mindset already in the morning,
mm-hmm.
I really feel it has its ripple effect during the day. And I can just focus on the things that I do have and I'm grateful for.
Mm.
It helps me in the day. So, yeah. And also have in that time when it's like early morning, I feel that so many ideas are coming up.
Yeah.
Like work-wise, projects I want to do. And I don't have that at all in the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel I cannot complete my work properly. I don't have ideas that could come mm-hmm. up. Or if I have work to be done, I almost always try to avoid it in the evening. Because mm-hmm. I feel in the morning... And especially early mornings, I'm very, awake, aware, creative. And I feel it just has to do with the rising of the sun and the, it's mm-hmm. like, energy of a new day. It's like it's fresh. It's like every time a new chance to start again. I don't know how to say it, but it's like to be a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
Better than the day before.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we're just so overstimulated.
Yeah.
From all aspects. And, I mean, I think especially probably in your profession and speaking with people all day and...
But everything, like you see on the job, but also by the kids, by your husband, by everyone. And that's why my evening routine also is so important, to just wash it off in a bath or in a shower,
mm-hmm.
to just have my meditation and just empty my mind. And I feel a different person afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because I've always been so opposed to journaling, but now I'm like, maybe I should.
Yeah.
Write down your intentions.
I made a wellness journal.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. We're still waiting for the printing, but...
still?
Yeah, we have 3 drafts, and each time it's not properly printed, so...
Oh, my God.
You have to be very patient, but it's like something you could use as a tool.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's like with prompts, so it's not like a white page, because for many people, just a white page, it's like they don't know what to write.
Yeah.
So this one is with prompts, and it's with... practices for gratitude. It has some affirmations. It has some reflections. Could be a tool maybe to start.
Yeah, I love that. Definitely.
I started using the 5-minute journal.
Yeah,
I think it was.
That's a popular one.
For a long time. And I found the prompts really helpful.
Yeah.
And also it really shifts your mindset. Like 3 things you're grateful for, 3 things you want out of the day, setting intentions. And it really did make a difference.
Definitely. Because people always think like I'm feeling okay, I'm low, I'm not happy, but you have to choose to be happy.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
You have to choose in the morning how you want to feel that day.
Mm-hmm.
You can just wake up and go with the flow of the day, but then you're totally not intentional about the new day. But if you wake up and you set that intention of today, I want to show up as someone who is joyful or empathetic, or I want to be a caring mother today, you choose to be certain.
Yeah,
on a certain emotional level, instead of just letting life happen and being dragged by all the chores. And
true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially the journaling, like you taught me that as well. It organizes your thoughts. Mm-hmm. That's something I really appreciate. Because sometimes it's popping up a lot, like...
Yeah.
And then the children has to do a task, and then the professional-wise, you need to do some. And I really love the fact I just can't write it off, like
literally.
And I love that. It gives me such a calmness. And I do it in the morning and in the evening. In the morning, because like you said, some new ideas, you get like inspiration or whatever, and then in the evening it's like, okay, what did I actually do, like what is finished I can check out, and then it gives you the calmness. You don't need to, otherwise it's all in your mind, then you're getting overwhelmed, and then you can't get to sleep well. And then
it's
just like next to my bed sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then just to...
And it's also a great tool to, like you say, to organize your life, but to set goals. Because I also love to work with, have your yearly goals, but also like, what are your monthly goals? And then what are my weekly goals?
Yes, exactly.
And if you have a goal for the week, you want to break it down and during the day, like, today I'm going to work on my weekly goal, which is, for example, daily sport or working on the work project that you want to finish. So every day I want to do a chapter or whatever it is. But I love to do that as well, because it gives you a life direction.
Of course.
And make it realistic as well.
Yeah.
You can say in the beginning of the year, I'm going to be like, whatever.
Yeah.
But if you write it down, it's like, maybe that's not realistic to achieve it in a month, for example. Like, you can make it, I don't know, it makes it like more real.
Yeah.
Tangible. I think when it's on the paper and you see it.
In research, proven that when you write things down, not on your phone, but really writing it down, it has a kind of effect with the brain manifests more, because there is that unconscious connection that you make and you will work on it more.
Yeah.
And for me, it helps a lot, like working on the goals that I want to achieve by writing them down, coming back to them, revising them, because life changes and life happens. So sometimes you have to revise them. But I cannot say always.
In Qatar.
Yeah.
Like today I had a lot of appointments and then there was a storm.
Yeah.
In the middle of my life.
Dangerous storm.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah.
I think the morning is, I do. I love that. The idea of waking up for everyone else and kind of like seizing the day, like, it's your day. But also in the evening, something that I've talked about this before a couple of times, something my therapist recommended was to write down like 3 to 5 wins a day with my kids, because I'm particularly hard on myself of no wins whatsoever. And I find on the days that I'm consistent in writing down those wins, I just wake up feeling like, okay, I can handle this day, if I've done that the night before. And it ends the day on like a grateful note and that I've done something right.
Yeah, you have.
I feel like,
of course. Yeah.
And maybe you feel like this one thing doesn't make a difference, but if you do it consistently and you do all little things daily, they add up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after weeks, months, you will feel a different person.
Yeah.
And you're also focusing on the good things.
Yes.
Like you said, we're all focusing on the things we are lack of. Mm-hmm. Or
like, yeah.
But now if you're doing the gratitude and the things that are the wins, I think that's a good thing that we all focus on the good things.
I mean, why not? Why are there's so much negativity and horrific things going on in the world, especially these days that...
But also our brain has a negativity bias.
Yeah.
So automatically we will be focused more on the negative thing because it's a survival thing from...
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Millions of years ago, yeah. So automatically we're always looking out for danger. But now in modern times it's more towards negative thoughts, negative ideas. So we have to rewire our brain and we have to do conscious effort to think more positively, more positive.
I have a question. Is Ellie, would you say more negative? Because I would say Nick focuses more. My husband would focuses more on negative things. And I'm wondering if that could, I'm like, oh, look, there's a cloud. That's amazing. Or look, there's a blue sky. That's amazing. Like I like seeing like things. They just make me happy. If I see a little bird, I'm like, oh, look, there's a pigeon. I'm happy, you know? But Nick is like, oh, more negative. So I'm wondering what...
Ellie's just very realistic.
Realistic, okay.
Realistic and analytical.
That's a man thing, being Russian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not generalizing.
No, of course.
Because sometimes I said that too. No, I really have tapped into that over the past like couple of years. Like when I find that I am not being rational, I'll go to him and be like, okay, tell me like what's going on. Is this, am I freaking out for a good reason or not? Or like, I've got so much going on, like help me just get myself organized because I can.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily say he's negative, but more just like very realistic.
Mm. Maybe I don't like realistic then. Maybe I prefer living in my like bubble.
Yeah.
Oh, so Camille, what's your morning routine?
My morning routine, I'm not a 5 a.m. club person. I'm sorry. But I get up at 6. Normally the boys are still asleep. So I get like my 10 or 15 minutes alone time. but normally I just get up and it's not like meditation or gratitude, but my journal is next to me. And sometimes I just have the feeling I need to write something down, my thoughts, like before the day starts, I try to write off my thoughts. And then, I start by, my skincare routine. It's funny, but that's brushing my teeth is the first thing I want to do in the morning. It's very weird, but it's like, okay, I need to brush my teeth, wash my face, of course. And I start with my skincare routine, like for just like 10 minutes of me time and starting, like, of course, showering and then do my routine. And then the boys are there, like in 15 minutes, I try to arrange everything and then the boys are there. So then it's their time, right?
Yeah.
So for me, it's quite short, my period of me time, but
it's there.
It works. Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be long. I mean, if you start with a morning routine, just 5 minutes.
Yeah.
For me, like, be in peace and quiet time.
Like for me, it gives me like the structure and like preparing the day. And then sometimes I also listen to some podcasts during my brushing teeth, you know, that's
nice.
Also enough to do in the morning. And that's it. So it's quite simple, I think. Maybe I need to work on it.
There's no fixed right or wrong, you know, morning routine. It's just so personal and whatever works for you is a good morning routine.
Yeah.
And if you feel calm and centered afterwards, that's the most important thing. However you want to fill it up.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to have 50 minutes like to get ready.
Yeah.
On my terms. Like, you know, I don't need to you know, get all rush and first
in chaos. Yeah.
In chaos. That's something that I won't be happy. But 50 minutes of just me preparing myself for the day, waking up the boys, coming, like, and then we breakfast together. So that's something also the boys like it. Like, they know our mommy is waking me up, we have breakfast together. Like,
That's cute. Yeah.
The routine as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's their routine that makes them happy and starts their day in a positive.
Yeah. For me, it's very important to have a calm breakfast. Something I really like.
Yeah, for me too.
To have breakfast together.
Okay,
I couldn't have like...
No. I could never leave the house in the morning without a breakfast.
No, that's something like, also for us as well.
Yeah. My oldest daughter, she can just go with a cup of coffee. I'm like, how are you doing this?
Do you drink coffee?
I drink coffee. Okay. Not every day.
Okay. Oh,
wow. I drink coffee every day.
Yeah, me too. I'm like,
like, mom, you need her coffee.
I love coffee.
Yeah.
I love coffee. I mean, I know all the places here in Doha that have the best coffee.
Oh.
But it's
right last.
Yes.
I'm very sensitive to caffeine. So
okay.
That's one. And two, also, I'm very into cycle cycling. You know,
okay.
What's that? So that's about your period.
Okay. Okay.
Certain phases. And certain phases you shouldn't drink caffeine. Other phases you...
When?
Tell us more.
So ovulation is a good time for caffeine.
Okay.
Menstruation phase is more decaf.
But
I have noticed that when I drink more caffeine, my cycle will become very irregular.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Really?
You should write that down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also something that I'm just aware of. Like, I love coffee. I could drink it every day.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay.
But I'm just aware because I know, like, I want to be in tune with my body and I want to have a regular cycle. So I'm,
I've heard about coffee being bad for, because I have PCOS and I know that I shouldn't drink it. Like maybe one cup of coffee. I'm like 5 cups of coffee a day person. But I am too scared to lower my intake right now.
You have to read that book.
You should come.
Vizzy, My Flow.
Yeah, send it to us.
It's all about periods. PCOS as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
we should definitely look into that.
Interesting.
But you can manage. You have can gradually, you know, decrease your intake.
Let's see.
Your face is like,
my mom's routine.
It's 5 cups of coffee.
No way.
It's my morning routine, speaking of coffee, is I wake up with the kids straight away because I sleep with my youngest still. And I get them situated on the couch. We put the TV on. And I say, no one speak to me until this cup of coffee is finished. And that's the rule in our house. Once a coffee's finished, I will do anything for you. But don't ask me to do anything. Don't ask me to get up. Ask your father until my coffee's finished.
So that's 5:30. But that's
as far as my morning routine is going.
That's a routine.
So you never have like a clock, like I don't know, an alarm going. It's just your children who wakes you up.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's a different thing. I think when you can have like set up an alarm. Like for me, when the alarm was off, it's my time. If the kids are waking me up, I'm already like, ugh, the day.
Right.
No.
Yes.
Yeah. Like sometimes it happens. They're forensics, so it happens once in a while when they're sick or whatever, there's something. But that's for me already the day, like, ugh.
Yeah. Like I already touched out at 5:30 a.m.
Exactly.
Waking like, me up. Yeah.
So that's something that's off.
Yeah,
that's happened. Like, so I totally understand. So you don't have an alarm. It's the kids.
It's my kids. Yeah, and I don't mind that. But it's like if I can't finish my cup of coffee, there will be problems.
Yeah,
there is not going to be a smooth drop.
But it's also kind of routine.
It is.
When I brew my own coffee, it's my routine. It doesn't have to be in the morning, but like just give me 20 minutes where I can make my own coffee.
Yeah,
and I measure the beans, and I just love it, and it's a routine that I love. During the morning or whenever I do it, it's also a time just for yourself. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. we'll get to the 5 a.m. one eventually. What's yours?
I'm usually up with the kids.
Because, as soon as they wake up.
Yeah, because my kids still wake up in the middle of the night. So, especially lately. Post-travel, my youngest has been waking up a lot. Harper still doesn't... Well, Harper's gotten better, but... So most of the time I wake up with the kids.
Yeah.
Or I'm awake and they go downstairs with their dad and then I'll wake up a little bit later. But coffee first. And then I'm usually in the kitchen, you know, packing lunches and getting my lunch ready for school, for work. I get them breakfast on the table, you know. I usually make them like a board kind of thing of breakfast and they can just kind of make and choose. I think our mornings are a bit more chaotic, I think, because of lack of sleep. I like our evenings more. My evenings are much more kind of, I don't want to say structured, but more like organized. Winding down, organized. Yeah. I cook dinner. The kids are in and out of the kitchen. We have dinner together every single night. And I love it. It's one of my favorite times of day. We all sit down. It's kind of like, oh, okay, here we go. It's like we kind of get our sillies out at the table. Yeah. We get the emotions out.
That's nice.
And then we have a dance party most nights.
Really?
Yeah. Fun. After dinner. And then bath time and reading and good night.
And you wake up with an alarm or with the kids waking you?
Mostly with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Or just naturally I'll wake up. They're already downstairs, but.
Yeah,
just wake up at like 6 a.m., 5:30, 6. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, but that's something that you can't control yet.
Yet.
Right?
Yet.
There's still, I think when the time is when you control your wake up time and like,
yeah,
that's for me, it changed because like before when they were younger,
yeah,
they woke me up, right? Mm-hmm. I think with the alarm, that's something that gives me like, okay, it's the alarm, and then it gives you routine because you know when the alarm is going off, like you know what's followed. Like
Nick does that. He gets up at like 4:30.
He gets up because of his work or because
because by choice he goes to the gym. That's his morning routine. He gets up, he brushes his teeth, he has a banana, and he goes to the gym, and he's back by 5.
Okay, nice.
And then we get up at 5:30-ish.
So he's got his good like hour and a half to himself.
Yeah. But I don't know. I don't. It's just,
so then it's
I kind of want to sleep.
Then he can take over and then it's too much.
That wouldn't be, that would be the win.
Yeah. Totally.
Have to take turns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could be persuaded to set an alarm.
There are some days where like some, I don't know. It's just like maybe mother's instinct where I'm like, okay, it's going to be a good night. Everyone's going to sleep. And I'll set my alarm and I'll go for a run. This is very rare. But on those days that I do and I'm running, is this when the sun's coming up, it's just like bliss.
Yeah. Mm.
It's heaven on earth. I love running. So it's really my me time. Yeah. I usually do it at night.
Yeah, it's something special in the morning.
Yeah,
the morning, like you say, it's bliss. It's like peaceful. It's the world.
It's like you're getting a jump start on the day.
Yeah.
You know
what? Okay, so I don't really know much about like meditation or anything like that. So what is it? Like, do you know much about it?
Yeah,
I don't know
about it.
Anything about it. I think I kind of like always was, I can do everything. I don't need to journal. I'll remember everything. I don't need to meditate. I'm calm. And I'm not any of those things. I forget everything and I'm not calm at all. Mm-hmm. So what, for someone that doesn't know anything, what would you say is meditation? Or
it's just a moment of being in stillness with yourself.
Yeah.
Where you kind of not engage in your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way, if you want to start, is to focus on the breath.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you just sit, and I think it's best then to use a guided meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Where they guide you into the process of becoming quiet. Just observing your thoughts, not engaging in them.
Mm-hmm.
Observe your breathing. And there are special techniques for that. And then you just become quiet and you can tune in with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Your intuition will speak more than your thoughts. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it just gives you that sense of calmness, which is nice to handle stress afterwards.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like your parasympathetic nervous system that switches on. Because during the day, often we are just always busy and stressed and in fight and flight mode. And during that meditation, it's not that mode.
Mm-hmm.
The parasympathetic that takes over.
Mm-hmm. So. It's pretty incredible when you take a moment to focus on your breath and just like feel the breath in and out of your body and just like what it does to your body. And I always find when I sit down and do that, I realize how much I'm not breathing throughout the day.
Mm.
Just taking these like quick, you know, that's very exaggerated, but
yeah.
we're not doing that like deep belly breathing that even babies do. It's such a shame that they lose it. But
also the effect, if you do breath work, a certain exercise where, for example, you make the exhalation longer than the inhalation. If you do it a few minutes. It's incredible the effect it has. You just feel like another human being than 5 minutes earlier. You're so calm. You're so in tune with yourself. It has a huge effect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's something really easy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like everyone knows how to breathe, like,
yeah,
sort of.
Yeah.
But if you really focus on it, it's like, oh, maybe I don't know how to breathe. Like you said, it's something easy to do. Like
people forget, in
the car or whatever, exactly. Stress situation, just to even 10
people seconds. Forget how easy it is to just tune into your breath, and you have that tool available all the time, 24/7.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, also when my daughter has to go to her exams at university, she's very stressed, and I teach her the breathing, and she feels it instantly, like, okay, it calms her down.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
So it's like a tool we all have, and I wish more people could use it.
Yeah.
Even for the children.
Yeah.
I teach supports, like, when they get angry to each other, and like, boys, breathe.
Yeah. Yeah.
they exaggerate, of course.
Yeah.
Like, for them, it's like,
yeah.
And they're doing like this, like everyone is doing. Like the meditation pose. But even for them to reflect, like, okay, breathe. Before you, like, get into the fight or whatever, they're boys. So, yeah, you have girls, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a different kind of fight, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
My girls, like, choke hold each other.
Oh, really? Wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's
tough girls. But, yeah, I think it's a nice tool to teach them as well. Like, the breathing part.
Yeah. Definitely.
Harper was learning a song at school about, like, and when you get angry, like something about counting to 10 and taking like 10 deep breaths. And she was going around singing that
to everyone.
And I wanted to be like, girl, turn around and do that for yourself. You're preaching to everyone else. We have very big emotions in our house. So.
That is good to acknowledge that she feels angry or she feels...
Yeah.
It's important that they can recognize that.
Yeah. And we had such an amazing little conversation the other day. I was holding my youngest and I was going into the rocking chair and I said, Harper, could you please move? Because I'm going to sit down there. And then she got up onto the bed and she said, why did you call me Harper? I was like, what? Like, why? What do you mean? I said, sorry, love. What do you mean? She said, well, why didn't you call me love or something else? I said, oh, I don't know. I said, I call you different things. Sometimes I call you Harper. Sometimes I call you my love, you know, Habibi, whatever. And she said, well, I didn't know what you were thinking when you said Harper. No. I said, did you think I was mad at you? She said, I don't know, but I didn't know what you were thinking. And it made me feel kind of like, I don't know if she used the word uncomfortable or weird.
Or off.
Or off, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was just so incredible that she could verbalize all of that.
How old is she?
She's 4.
Wow.
No, 5. How old is she? 5. 5.
Five. Yeah, so I had to think. I was really like, how old is Mila? Yeah.
This is my daughter.
She's analyzing your life.
Yes.
She feels everything.
I think she can feel that.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I told her, I said, oh my gosh, you know, thank you so much for telling me this. Like, mommy's going to think about that and how she speaks. I said, mommy's not mad at all. I just, she was probably thinking like she always does.
She is, she like analyzes. She thinks everything. Yeah. Her facial expressions, how you speak to her. She's very honest.
Sensitive.
That little girl.
Sensitive. Yeah, she's me. In a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. It's nice that she's expressing it. I think a lot of children are analyzing their parents, but not everyone is
saying it. It was incredible. I don't know why we're talking about getting angry and emotions and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Emotions. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's important that when kids get angry that you talk about that.
Like,
why are you angry? What is happening? That they just learn how to tune in with their feelings and not just, okay, you're angry. Okay, let's move to the next activity. No.
Yeah.
We have to understand them and to learn them how to feel their emotions and then giving them the tools that they can use to control or to release that anger. Is it by talking, by analyzing it? Is it by sitting and meditating? Mm-hmm. Because kids, they do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have the tools, they do it.
But I think also as parents, as adults, sometimes I get really angry.
Yeah.
You know, and then I also express myself like, boys, I'm very angry now. Mommy is going upstairs, taking her moment and coming back.
Yeah.
Like also expressing ourselves, our emotions, because if we are not expressing them, like how can we expect that they are expressing them? Like, so they already know like me is going to explode. So we need to push.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's something, we also have our boundaries, I think. And then they feel the boundaries they can.
Yeah.
So it's vice versa. So just the kids, but also the adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who need to express themselves. And otherwise, they don't understand why we get angry or frustrated that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quick or whatever. So, yeah.
So, there's so many great books out there, though, these days, too, you know, to read to kids, picture books about emotions and dealing with them and talking and how things make us feel. It's almost like the bedtime book becomes a lecture for me too, you know, like I'm learning from it as well sometimes. Yeah.
We have had to learn how to regulate while teaching our kids how to regulate their emotions, because I was never taught how to regulate my emotions. I was like, I mean, I would either get locked in my bedroom because I wasn't doing something good or just ignored for like a week. So I never learned how to cope with my emotions. And I've told you this, but Nick taught me how to. He taught me how to speak when I was feeling frustrated because I was shut down. And so I had to learn how to regulate my emotions very quickly while trying to help the girls not turn out like me.
Yeah. It's hard.
But it's nice that your husband is supporting you and like through this, because it's very nice.
Yeah. He was like, you're acting like a 5-year-old. I was like, okay.
Yeah, because it's very helpful feedback.
Yeah.
Because we just do what we learned as a kid. That's how we raise our own kids. And if you have someone who can show you your blind spots, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, he does.
We all have our blind spots.
Yeah. Everyone has.
Yeah.
It's human.
It is.
Been so great talking. I feel like we could talk for hours. Like there's so many other things that we could talk on.
Definitely.
So
where do you do your yoga? That's what I wanted to ask.
Yeah.
In the Nia Yoga.
Okay. I've never been there.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful space.
Yes. It's wonderful. Now we're gonna start with mother circles.
That's useful.
It's like a space that we wanna create for moms to get together, and it will be some restorative yoga, some mindfulness, and then some life coaching tools. They get activities or exercises that they can use to just help them give direction to their life. Like, what do they want for themselves? Always busy and hooked up in motherhoods and being busy with the kids.
Yeah.
But just creating a space where they can tune in with themselves and checking in, like, what do I want? Except being a mother, but I also have different other selves that I want to work on. So we're going to do that in Nia Yoga as well, starting next Sunday.
Oh, nice. Oh,
great.
Next Sunday already.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. What a great initiative.
We want to connect women and...
Definitely. Yeah. I wish they had that kind of stuff.
And that's exactly the reason why I wanted to do this, because when I had little kids, I didn't have those tools and those resources. No. And I feel like if we can give to mothers the tools that I know now and that I want to share with them, and if I would have had them when I was 20 years younger, it would be so different.
Yeah.
So that's a bit the reason why
I
started thinking about it. Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
So do you have an Instagram page?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's @vibrantvalerie_.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Follow.
follow, like, subscribe.
Follow us.
All right. Perfect.
Awesome.
Well, thank you so much. This was wonderful.
Thank you. It was super nice talking to you and chatting.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And stay tuned. Maybe more to come.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. Bye.